This message is provided by Bridgeway Community Church. Thanks for tuning in.
I want to kick off the message portion this morning by saying this. I believe this is true, and maybe you know this to be true as well. I think we as people, at times, we can tend to overlook teenagers. We can tend to overlook the next generation. I think there's a reason why the phrase like, well, when you're older is something that we've heard or maybe even said at times, right? Maybe it's our own kids, or maybe it's when we think about the next generation. It's like, well, when they're older, they can, or when you're older, you can. And I do. I think we tend to overlook the next generation at times, whether we mean to or not. And so what I find really interesting is that when we actually do our research, we find that the God we worship doesn't overlook teenagers at all. That God doesn't overlook the next generation, because the next generation really is the generation of now. In fact, when we do our research, we find the exact opposite to be true, because it can be argued, maybe some of you in this room might know this already, but it can be argued even that most of the disciples in Scripture and in the Gospels were teenagers themselves. Check this out. Jewish education ended at the age of 15. And so then continued education came in the form of following a rabbi. And so one would be able to, as a rabbi, to start teaching at the age of 30, which is the exact age that we as Christians believe Jesus started his ministry here on this earth, his public ministry. Now, here's something else we know through Scripture when we read the Gospels. We know that one of the disciples, a guy named Peter, actually has a wife. We know this because three of the Gospels tell us a story about Jesus actually healing Peter's mother-in-law. Now, I don't know if you know this, but in order to have a mother-in-law, you have to be married, right? So we see that in Scripture, that Peter is the only disciple, though, that's mentioned throughout the Gospels as having a spouse. And in Exodus 30, we can see that Jewish tradition states that every male over the age of 20 has to pay a half shekel when they enter into God's temple, the tabernacle. It's a tax. But it's for every male who's 20 years of age or older. And yet in Matthew 17, we read a story where Jesus and the disciples enter Capernaum, and only Peter and Jesus are mentioned as people who had to pay the tax, meaning everybody else in the disciples most likely, probably, weren't old enough to pay the tax, meaning they were probably teenagers. And so chances are most of the disciples, as we know them, were teenagers. Meaning the people Jesus handpicked for his inner circle, for his time in ministry on this earth, of all the people he could have chosen, the ones he chose were young people, were teenagers. Let that sink in for a moment. You see, I believe teenagers play a massive role in our world. They make a big impact in a lot of different ways. All you got to do is look around our culture and you'll see that our teenagers make a big impact on the culture around us. If you've ever said the numbers 6-7 together while doing this and thinking you were cool, you can thank a teenager for that. But just know that they're going to cringe while you do it, because it's definitely not cool anymore, just in case you did not know that, right? Yeah, if you're currently enjoying any music inside the top 10 on Spotify or Apple Music, like top of the charts, you can thank a teenager for that as well, because stats show that teenagers are driving those trends in music. Honestly, you can thank teenagers for all the 70s and 90s fashion trends that are back in every single retail store you step foot in right now. Check this out. This shirt right here exists. And not only does it exist, but it's being sold in your local Rockford Meijer currently, right now, in the young men's department. This is true. And yes, in case you're wondering, that is satin. It is satin. And it comes with a pair of bell-bottom pants and platform shoes. And then there's this. Check this out. If you pay attention too, on some of these other clothing that we see, you'll see it up on the side screens. You'll see that some of these clothes have labels on them that literally say '90s fit, '90s fit. Like, what in the world? Like, again, you have a teenager to thank for that, because somehow they decided it would be awesome to bring these styles back. Honestly, I'm starting to wonder if it's safe for me to bust out my Skip It and my Pogs again. And yes, these are Pogs in this cylinder right here. If you're very interested in the fact that I have these, come up and I'll show them to you after service. But just as I can't help but acknowledge that teens are communicating through our culture, I also can't help but acknowledge this. I can't help but acknowledge how important our communication with young people is in return. So what we're about to dive into this morning is something I believe is key in communicating with teenagers. But I also believe this. It goes beyond that. I believe we should be applying this to our relationships and to our communication tool belts with all people, with everyone. I believe there's something so integral as a starting place when it comes to our communication with all people, but especially teenagers. And it's this principle right here. It's hearing versus listening. It's this principle of hearing versus listening. Now, I know for a lot of you, these two things probably seem really similar on the surface, but they're different, aren't they? If you think about it, they're different. Here's what I want to do. Since we're bringing back the 90s, I want to bring something to you this morning. We're bringing back the 90s this morning a little bit. And so I want to do this. I want to show you a clip of a song that came out in 1992 and blazed its way to the top of the charts. And maybe you'll know this. Maybe you've heard this before. Let me play this clip for you right now and see if anybody knows this song. Y'all know this song? Some of you are bobbing your heads out there. I see you. Yeah, you know this song. Yes, I Will Always Love You by Whitney Houston. Sean was on it. He had it dialed in, ready to rock and roll. How many of you, by raise of hands, have ever heard this song before? You heard this song before? Ah, okay, so look at this. A lot of you have heard this song, but I want to ask you this. Have you ever listened to this song? Because there's a difference between hearing this song and listening to this song, isn't there? Check this out. I need your participation this morning, church. Like, I really need your participation here. I'm going to replay the clip, and here's what I want to do in this moment. Maybe you've heard this song, and you heard that there's this big break in the music before there's this massive drum hit, and then the chorus starts, right? Here's what I need you as a church to do for me this morning. If you were listening, then you should know exactly where that drum hit happens. And so when you think the drum hit is about to happen, as I replay this for you, I need you to simply clap. And I don't mean like shy. I don't want you to be shy. I want you loud and proud. Clap when you think the drum hit is about to hit before the chorus. Are you ready? What? No one? Are you ready? Okay. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to play it again. You're going to clap when you think the drum hit happens during the massive pause. Ready or not, here we go. Don't be shy. I want to hear it. Here it comes. Ah, did you hear it? Ah. You were close. Some of you were so close. Some of you were right on it. I saw some of you got it. I also saw some of you doing this. You were waiting for that exact moment, and you were like, "I got it!" Right as I swear I got it. You heard it, and you thought you had it. I saw some of you cheaters in the room. Yeah, I saw that. There is a difference between hearing something and listening to it, right? And so here's what I want to do. I want to tell you this morning. That listening, not just hearing, but intently listening to people matters. It does. So I want to dive into what it looks like to focus on the people around us, and who better to show us this than a guy named Jesus? And if Jesus made young people a priority in his life, handpicking the disciples, then so should we too. And so Jesus spent his entire life, you know this, Jesus spent his entire life loving people. This is a big part, obviously, it's a part of who he is as our Savior. A continual source of love and care for the people around him. He saw people who needed help everywhere he went, and he reached out to help them. And so there's countless stories of Jesus doing this throughout Scripture, but I want to talk about one of my favorites this morning, because it has to deal with this guy named Bartimaeus. And so we're going to open up to the book of Mark, chapter 10. Mark 10, it's one of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Mark 10. Verses 46 to 52. And this is what Mark 10, 46 to 52 says. It says, "Then they," as in Jesus and the disciples, "then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus," which means son of Timaeus, "was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.'" I want you to catch this. It says, "Jesus stopped and said, 'Call him.' So they," the disciples, "they called to the blind man, 'Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you.' So throwing his cloak aside, Bartimaeus jumped to his feet and came to Jesus." I really want you to hone in on this part right here, because what Jesus says here is so important. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Now, church, we could spend a ton of time this morning talking about or focusing on how Jesus healed Bartimaeus, or talking about how God can heal us, and inviting you in to share how God has helped you. But I think there's what I want to really focus in on is one really interesting, important part of the story this morning. Because I believe Jesus shows us just something incredibly insightful about helping other people. Did you notice what Jesus did once he heard Bartimaeus? Once he heard Bartimaeus calling out to him, Jesus did something very specific. He stops and he asks Bartimaeus what he would like him to do. You see, Jesus, the Son of God himself, took a moment to stop and listen, as if he didn't already know what's going on with Bartimaeus. As if he didn't already know the intricate details of Bartimaeus' life, Jesus still stops and takes a moment and listens. See, as Christ followers, we have to know this. Jesus' every move, Jesus' movements throughout Scripture are always very intentional. And so when Jesus stops and listens, we need to pay attention. Jesus, in this moment, he shows us that part of listening is asking good questions that allow the other person to tell us what they would like for us to do for them, or how they could use help. So Jesus asked Bartimaeus about his need, and then he shows everyone what it would look like. He shows everyone in that moment what it looks like to listen well. Man. I believe this, church. I believe we should do the same. Jesus is asking us to press pause, to listen to those around us. And here's the truth. The truth is this, is that sometimes, or maybe a lot of the time, we try to help people without listening to them first. I admit it. I'm as guilty as charged. I've done this. I've done this even with my own kids. There's so many times I can think of where my kids like ask for a snack and I'm like tossing some food at them before I even like heard like what snack that they might like or whatever. You know, I just like throw it out there. I'm not listening, but I heard it. So here's your snack, kids. Like, man, I've done that before. I want to do this. Can I follow that up with a second truth? Here's the second truth. Specifically when it comes to young people, teenagers. Teens don't always need a problem solver. Sometimes they just need someone to listen. This is hard for a lot of us because a lot of us are problem solvers. And so we want to jump right in with the solution. And yet it's truly impossible to really help somebody without listening to them first. Like imagine if you were sick and you went to the doctor and the doctor didn't listen to a word you were saying. How would they know how to help you? They wouldn't, at least not well. And a lot of the time, I believe we can find ourselves being like that doctor. And we end up wasting time and energy in the long run rather than taking a few minutes to actually listen to people first. Because listening is crucial when caring for other people. But my question is, what does that look like when there's so much noise around us? Maybe you've seen these before. You probably have because I've been showing them on pretty much every slide in this so far. These are noise-canceling headphones. Maybe some of you out there have a pair of noise-canceling headphones at home, right? It's great. Because when you throw these bad boys on, you turn them on, like, man, it just helps you, like, really listen to the music and kind of, like, tune everything else out. When they are powered on and you're listening to the music, all the other distractions in life are blocked out when it comes to noise-canceling headphones. Because they use built-in microphones that listen to your surroundings. And then again, when they're powered on, these microphones actually cancel out the sounds that are happening around you so you can focus on what you're listening, what you're trying to actually listen to. And what I want to tell you this morning is that Jesus shows that our love for other people, a foundation of love for other people, can act like noise-canceling headphones. That when we have a focus of loving people like Jesus does, then we're able to block out the distractions and the noise and actually notice people who might need our help. And I believe this. I believe that as we cancel out the noise and learn to focus on what matters most to God, we learn to pay attention and hear the people around us. And beyond just hearing them, when we actually listen, you'll be surprised by the opportunities that God puts before you to repeat what Jesus does. And to repeat what Jesus did in noticing others who might be crying out for help. Check this out. Proverbs 18, verse 13 says this: to answer before listening, that is folly and shame. And yet again, like I've done this so many times in my own life where I think I have the answer before actually listening to somebody who's asking a question or telling me about what's going on in their lives. And yet Scripture tells us right there, to answer before listening, it's not only folly, but it's also shame. Shame on us. Shame on me. In the moments where I just speak before listening. This is something that seems so simple, and yet I know this. We mess it up all the time. And yet when we get it right, it exemplifies who Jesus is to the people around us. When we ask questions and let others speak for themselves as Jesus did, we open ourselves up to understanding those people more deeply. Who they are, what they're about, what they're going through, what makes them feel connected to God. See, personally, I love that our student ministry gets to do this with young people on a weekly basis. And notice that I said gets to do this and not has to do this. I say that because it's an honor and a privilege, not an obligation. And frankly, church, when I'm not just hearing what these young people are saying, but I'm listening to what's behind it, God highlights all that he's doing and going to do in their lives and in their situations. And then our leadership team gets blessed. We get blessed to be given the gift of walking alongside these young people and leading them and encouraging them and continually pointing them towards Jesus. Through all the highs and through all the lows. You see, it's not exhausting, it's life-giving. And we're blessed by it. And then I believe it blesses God. You know, research from Barna and Christian Post reveals that somewhere between 60 to 70% of all adult Christians say that they gave their lives to Christ before the age of 18. 60 to 70% of all Christians say that they've given their they gave their lives to Christ before the age of 18. Church, this age demographic is arguably, I know I'm biased because I'm the youth pastor up here, but this age demographic is arguably the most important time in a person's life when it comes to forming their own beliefs about who Jesus is or isn't. Oh God, my prayer is that you would help us listen to the hearts of young people and all people as they cry out for help with mentorship, leadership, doubts, worries, stress, anxiety, fears. And God, would we live with a heart and compassion for Jesus, because surely we've all been in the same seat with all of that. God, would we be healed by our faith in you, Jesus? And so, church, I want to leave you with this morning, an encouragement when it comes to listening to all people and especially the next generation. I believe we're called to listen to understand. To listen to understand. Because listening to understand isn't about finding solutions immediately or seeking an opportunity to share like our intelligence with everyone. But it's about hearing them and letting them share their stories. This may mean that, I don't know, maybe it comes with a bit of awkward silence after they stop talking. That's okay. I really believe this. As somebody who steps into small groups in our youth ministry, and maybe you've noticed this in the small groups that you've been in, sometimes there are awkward silences. That's okay, because awkward silences, I believe, are a great time to try and process what's actually been shared. And so after someone shares something, maybe practice waiting a few moments before saying anything, before you respond. About a month ago, I'll wrap up with this, church. About a month ago, I was cleaning stuff up in my kitchen, and my kids were in the other room, and I'm like really focused on all the cleaning and reorganizing that I'm doing in the room. And my oldest daughter, Lila, comes in from the other room, and she asks me a question, and I'm kind of hearing what she says. I think I hear what she says, and she just asks me, in my mind, like, "Hey, Dad, can I go read?" And I'm like, "Yeah, of course you go read. Go, right?" And then she, like, goes away, and I continue cleaning up and reorganizing, doing the dishes, all these different things. Have you ever had an experience where you're trying to remember something in the moment, and you can't remember that exact thing? And then hours later, you go to sleep at night, and you wake up in the middle of the night, almost like sitting up in bed, and you're like, Simon and Garfunkel, or whatever it was that you were trying to remember, you know what I mean? Like, comes to you in that moment. It's like I had one of those moments. Hours later, I realized that my daughter did not ask me if she could go read, but I heard the words play back in my head, "Dad, will you read the Bible with me?" And I realized in that moment, I was hearing and not listening. Man, what an opportunity I would have missed. Because once I realized what she actually asked me, I went and I found where my kids were playing in the other room. And in the midst of them playing, I'm like, you know what, I'm gonna be quiet about this. I went and I grabbed my Bible and I sat down in the room and I opened up the Bible and I just started to read. I didn't say anything. And all of a sudden, I look up and I realize that Lila sees what I'm doing. And she, with all the excitement in the world, she runs out of the room, she goes up to her room, she grabs her Bible, runs back down, plops next to me, opens up her Bible, and starts reading her Bible next to me. And then my son, Abram, who is just like chaos in the room, all of a sudden realizes what Lila and I are doing. And he excitedly runs out of the room, runs up to his bedroom, grabs his Bible, comes back down, sits on the other side of me, opens up, and the three of us get to just sit there and read our Bibles together. Oh, what an opportunity I would have missed with my kids if I'd been stuck on hearing instead of listening. Church, when we listen to the younger generations, we are given opportunities to capitalize on not only teaching them, but learning from them too. That's some crazy cool version of like cross-generational discipleship. And that's just a part, but it's a great part of what we get to do as a body of believers called the church. Can I get an amen? I love that, church, and I'm grateful that we have every opportunity to do it. Man, I'm blessed, and I know a lot of us are blessed by the next generation. And so, it's my heart that we keep pouring into the next generation. And so let me do this. Let me pray for us and we get to worship together. But then after we're worshiping, I'm going to invite everyone to come over into the dock, our youth space, right after the service, and come hang out with some of the teenagers in there. We've got ice cream floats. I know it's not even 10 a.m. I don't care. We got ice cream floats. If you want some ice cream floats, we've got Nine Square, which is a game that the students think they dominate at. Come show them who really dominates a Nine Square if you want to try. We'd love to have you over and just spend some time together as a church community. But for right now, church, let me pray for us, and we'll dive right back into worship. God, thank you so much. We're beyond grateful for the fact that because of Jesus, we have a personal relationship with you. That because of Jesus, the veil was torn. And God, we see the importance that you've put on all people, whether young, whether old, whether in between, God, all people of all demographics, of all race and ethnicities, no matter where they came from or where they're going, all people matter to you. And so as Christ followers, God, we lean into that as well, knowing that we're called to love all people. God, will we love our next generation to the point of investing in them? God, my prayer this morning is that if there's anybody in this room that heard the word this morning and felt convicted or compelled to have a conversation with me or the BSM team about what it looks like to invest in young people's lives at Student Ministries, God, would you give them the courage to have a conversation with one of us? God, and then from there, would we continue to just pour in? God, you fill us up. Would we take that? Would we be filled up with your Holy Spirit, God? And from there, pour that out on the lives of other people. What a blessing it is to be able to get to do that. What a blessing it is to get to love people, God. What a blessing it is to follow the example of Jesus. And so, God, we just praise and worship you more this morning in the holy and precious name of Jesus. And we pray, amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast today. Check out our app or website at bridgewaycommunity.org for more messages or to take the sermon one step deeper by downloading the sermon discussion guide.